go and see if we can get inside. So let's see if we can get in.
With chants of "Let us in," a group of Republican lawmakers stormed a secure hearing room on Capitol Hill Wednesday, where a Pentagon official was set to testify as part of House impeachment proceedings.
We're going to try to go in there, and we're going to try to figure out what's going on behalf of the millions of Americans that we represent that want to see this Congress working for them and not obsessed with attacking a president.
Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida there, who led the charge. He and other lawmakers delayed the planned deposition by hours, ordering pizza and bringing cell phones into the secure room where electronics are forbidden.
This is Congressman Alex Mooney. I'm calling you live from the SCIF. We came in this morning right after the press conference around 10 a.m. We've been sitting here waiting for the hearings to start. The moment we walked in the room, Chairman Adam Schiff saw us, took the witness, and walked out of the room.
And Democrats responded to the spectacle. Here's Representative Ted Lieu from California.
You may wonder, why is it happening now? Because Bill Taylor gave a devastating opening statement yesterday. They're freaked out. They're trying to stop this investigation. They don't want to hear from witness Cooper.
After damning testimony on Tuesday by William Taylor, the top U.S. diplomat in Ukraine, Republicans seem to move away from criticizing the content of the inquiry to taking on the process instead. And now the stunt has left a lot of people wondering where the GOP goes from here. As evidence against the president mounts, Republicans are by and large still standing by his side. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Joining me now is Brendan Buck, a Republican strategist at Seven Letter in Washington, D.C. Brendan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So lots going on, to say the least, when it comes to impeachment and everything else. But I'm curious to hear your immediate thoughts on the most recent news, if you will, the Republicans who entered the sensitive compartmented information facility yesterday. What did you make of that attempt to sort of derail the House hearings?
I sort of took it for what it was on its face, which is a stunt. When you're in the minority in the House, you're relatively powerless, and that's what minorities typically do, stunts. So I don't really take it for more than that. You know, when Democrats were in the minority last Congress, they staged a protest on the House floor, stopped legislative business for a couple days. You know, I remember during tax reform, Democrats were storming into members' offices saying, "Where's the bill?" This is what members do when they're in the minority. They don't really have any power, but they're trying to make a point. And the point is that they believe the process is broken and they're using whatever tools they have. Now, I'm not condoning going into a sensitive classified area with electronic devices, but, you know, this is a messaging exercise, and it's typical of what you see when someone's powerless like this in the minority.
So you said it's a messaging exercise. I would agree. Now, here's the interesting thing is we here on the show reached out to a number of congressional Republicans to join us today to talk about this issue. They either declined or didn't respond. So I'm wondering, why is there so much reluctance right now on the part of the GOP to really answer some questions and put themselves out there?
I mean, I think the reason they're focusing on the process or not engaging at all is because, A, on its face, the facts look terrible for the president. And B, the story keeps changing, or at least we keep learning new facts all the time. I don't think anybody is prepared to defend the substance. And so that's why you're seeing the focus on the process. Now, I will say it is not without some merit, some of the complaints about the process. It is not unusual to do closed-door interviews or depositions. It is not unusual to have certain committees take the lead and only allow committee members to go in there. It is unusual to not then share the contents of what happened with the full House. I say that because if you're going to impeach the president, it needs to be done without any question of impartiality or fairness. And there is an opening that Democrats are giving Republicans to make the argument that this is not being done in a fair, transparent manner. I understand the argument that they don't want to allow witnesses to see what each other are saying and coordinate their testimony. But at some point, they need to release the transcripts, let everyone see what is taking place in there. And it's actually, I would argue, in Democrats' best interest, because I do think that Republicans and the president are having some degree of success, at least with the Republican base, of convincing people that the fix is in, that this process is broken, and that there's something amiss here. It is at least creating a firewall with Republican voters and making sure that the president doesn't lose support ultimately where it's going to matter about his whether he stays in office, and that's with Republicans.
The Democrats say they're planning to actually, you know, eventually hold open hearings. So do you think that this stance by the Republicans is going to continue to work despite what the Democrats say they're going to do?
No, you raise a good point. I mean, it has an expiration date. You know, this is a relatively short-term play, and I don't know that anyone has articulated what the strategy is going to be when the next phase comes. I assume there will be a public phase that where they are bringing whoever has the best story to a public hearing or a few of them and talking about that. And at that point, the Republicans will have to come up with a different approach. I guess my argument is that they should probably get there sooner rather than later, because the longer this hangs out there behind closed doors, the longer Republicans are able to make the argument that this is not fair and transparent, people are going to dig in. At the same time, I think there should be a level of urgency among Democrats if they want to be successful here, if only because we have a relatively short attention span in this country. And as we've already seen, we roll from crisis to crisis or outrage to outrage. And if we want to make sure that people understand all the facts, you need to bring it to the light of day. And so, you know, we're seeing reports that they could be doing this for as long as another month behind closed doors. And I think that will give Republicans a lot of opportunities, not only on the process here, but to make the argument that Democrats are so obsessed with this and this process is dragging out so long that they're not doing the things that they said they were going to do on policy when they came to Washington.
To what extent, Brendan, is the president calling the shots in terms of the GOP strategy here? There was some speculation that the president had given his blessing yesterday to the intrusion, if you will, into the impeachment hearings. Is he really leading the charge here?
I don't know for sure. In my experience, I would be surprised if he was really dictating anything to that degree. What I can say is that he has a unique ability to put pressure on members really from the bottom up. And what I mean by that is I'm not surprised that the stunt, if you will, that took place yesterday happened shortly after the president went in front of cameras and said that Republicans need to stick together and do more to defend him. And the way that works is he says that Republican voters back home hear that. They call up their congressman and demand to know why they aren't sticking by the president. Members come back to Washington and ask the leadership, why aren't you doing more to stick by the president? And that's where you see the events like with that stunt. The pressure that Republicans are feeling in the House is from their constituents. And it's important to appreciate that there is a large percentage of the country that still feels very strongly in support of the president. They believe he is being wronged. And the president has an ability to speak directly to them. And it creates a lot of blowback for members and puts pressure on them to take action, to be seen as defending the president.
Now, we talked about party leadership here. Obviously, Mitch McConnell is leading the charge here. But on Wednesday, McConnell denied having a conversation with the president, defending his phone call with Ukrainian President Zelensky. Let's take a listen to what McConnell had to say.
The president has said that you told him that his phone call with the Ukrainian president was perfect and innocent. Do you believe that the president has handled this Ukrainian situation perfectly?
We've not had any conversations on that subject.
So he was lying about that?
You'll have to ask him. I don't recall any conversations with the president about that phone call.
Brendan, what does that tell us about Mitch McConnell's relationship with the president? Is that just a fluke, or is that indicative of perhaps a larger crack in the loyalty to the president?
I'm tempted to call it a fluke, but at the same time, Mitch McConnell has never really gone out of his way to defend the president. His typical answer when asked about something the president does or says is, I have no observations to make about that. So I'm not terribly surprised that he's not out rushing to defend the president on any of this. What Mitch McConnell cares a lot about is retaining the Senate majority. This whole situation has put a few senators who are in tough reelection races in a difficult spot. Cory Gardner in Colorado, or the races in Maine and Arizona and Iowa. This is a difficult situation for some of those members. And I think what you're seeing from a lot of Republican leadership is a little level of frustration that there isn't a safe place to go. There is no single message that is resonating that seems to work. I think if I were
but,
to
predict, but Brendan, I will say this. I mean, Mitch McConnell has been a staunch advocate of the president and has also voted along what the president has wanted pretty much all the time.
Sure. I mean, they develop an agenda together. But he has not been out there in the same way that, say, a Jim Jordan in the House or a Mark Meadows in the House see getting the president's approval as a top priority and are always rushing out to defend him. I think Mitch McConnell's approach has been more to sidestep some of these issues more than step into the breach on his behalf. I think where Mitch McConnell is going to end up, if I were to predict, is that this thing is going to slip into probably the election year, and he's going to make an argument that the American people should decide whether or not the president should be removed from office, and that should be done at the ballot box. We shouldn't be impeaching a president in an election year and leave it up to the American people.
Brendan, the president has a long list of alleged crimes. The impeachment inquiry is just one of the latest examples of what the president has been accused of. And it feels as though the GOP, absent just a handful of members, no one's really calling that out. And I think when you do see a Republican criticize the president, whether it's because of his language, his policies, or any of these alleged very serious crimes, I might add, ranging from, you know, sexual assault of women to potentially colluding with the Ukrainian government here. I mean, why don't we see more folks standing up for what they believe is right and not just political?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. It's a fair question. I think that it's important to appreciate that each member is reflecting the voices of their constituents, especially in the House. Most members are in very red Republican districts. And what they're hearing from their members or from their constituents, sounds a lot different than the conversation that, you know, we hear in Washington. The reality is that most members, particularly in the House, the only election that they care about is their Republican primary. There is no real safe place to go outside of supporting the president in a Republican primary these days. He really has owned the party. If you take a look at what happened when Mitt Romney decided that he was going to speak out about this, you know, the president and his whole team have been attacking him somewhat relentlessly since that happened. And I think what they're trying to do there is make an example of people. And, you know, you've seen it with Justin Amash as well, who has been a critic of the president and felt the need to even leave the party over it. And the reality is that it's going to be difficult to get reelected these days in Republican politics if you are seen as against the president. And I think a lot of members are just frankly acting in their own political interest. And at the same time, again, reflecting what they're hearing from their constituents back home. I think there was a comment from a member of Congress. It was in a BuzzFeed article not too long ago that I think really encapsulates it. A member told a reporter, you know, the president has talked about how he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and he wouldn't lose any votes. And the member said, if that happens, there better be a photograph of me stuffing a body into the back of a car, or my constituents are going to demand to know why I'm not supporting the president. The most important thing for Republican politics right now is the approval of the president and having the president think that you are on his team. There is no other place to go, really. There's no other wing of the party. The president has really taken over what other wings there were.
Well, it's a polarizing moment, to say the least. Brendan Buck is a Republican strategist at Seven Letter in Washington, D.C. Brendan, thanks so much.
Thank you.